the bottom line in business. Voice America Business.
Welcome to CIO Talk Radio with your host, Sunjo Gall. All comments, views, and opinions expressed on this show are strictly those of the host, guests, and callers. Here's Sunjo Gall.
Good morning and welcome to CIO Talk Radio. To learn more about the show, please visit www.ciotalkradio.com. This show is brought to you by Promethean, the global leader in managed EDI services. Today's topic is getting in the groove as a CIO. Our guests for today's show are Larry Thomas, who is the Vice President and CIO of Landstar. Good morning, Larry. How are you doing?
Good morning. Doing great.
Great. And then we have Dan Mintz, who is the CIO with the U.S. Department of Transportation. Good morning, Dan.
Good morning.
How is life in Washington?
Life is always interesting, especially, of course, during the election years when our hometown business becomes the nation's business.
Well, that's very interesting. So, and we also have Frank Modrison, who's the CIO with Accenture. Good morning, Frank.
Good morning.
Great. So you're in still Chicago or somewhere else in the globe?
I'm in Chicago today, and I think we're moving on to football and basketball as our focus areas.
Yeah, just so much a difference in from Washington and Chicago. So this is a great topic, which at least has its importance in the way an IT leader and or his or her crew handles their life and the business. Given the level of demand that this puts, this particular CIO's role puts on an individual, you got to be able to love it, or you should love it for you to survive in this. So the question here is that you will always have fear and stress, but can passion overcome that? And if at all, and it's actually happening in, you know, lately with terms of economy and everything else that's happening here, the external changes are making the job not exactly as what you would love to do because the external factors are becoming, you know, way too much to handle. So what does one do when things are going in this direction? I mean, one of the options is to quit, but I think, you know, that may not be the option that you would look up to from when you're talking to a CIO. So, Larry, let's hear.
Well, as you say, clearly quitting is definitely not the first option and not a desired option. I think, you know, many times when we become CIOs, we have a vision of what the job would be. I've been doing this for 7 years for Landstar. And it's probably never exactly what we thought it was going to be in the first place. There's a lot of things that are non-technical. You deal with the challenges of your team, which happens to be one of the pieces that I actually like as much as any part of the job. But what I have found is I like achieving. And so as long as I am achieving, even though there are different stresses that occur, if I can feel like I am impacting the business, impacting my people, and continue to achieve, I look for ways to stay, you know, rejuvenated through that. Even though it's times are difficult now, and they change, they get tougher sometimes than others, and so it's through the achieving that how I keep the passion.
So given the role that you see today, are you looking always for a sign of hope or for that reason for you to be rejuvenated versus that being the environment for you?
Well, I think that, you know, periods change. Sometimes it's easier than others. But I think I am always... I try to keep looking for that thing that either keeps me excited and keeps my team excited. And that is sort of a constant throughout as we're trying to help the business.
Dan, what do you think?
So, first of all, I think it's a great question for anybody in any job. I mean, ultimately, if you bring passion to the job, you're going to be more productive for yourself and the organization. And if your passion is disconnected, that is, you don't feel you're contributing, it's going to hurt you anywhere. So, I mean, ultimately, if you can't solve that, you have to figure out, can you transform it, or do you have to leave? to me, the challenge with the chief information office job, the CIO job, is it tends to look in two directions, and one is downward, and I'll probably talk about that off and on during the rest of the hour, where you're optimizing technology, which is important, and the other is upward, where you're integrating in some fashion to the strategic mission of the organization you're working for, whether that be a private company or a government department. And for me, the goal is the more that you're able to integrate into that strategic mission, so you're actually being consequential in terms of the organization, that's what you need to do to bring enjoyment and it helps you be passionate. Other people may have a different focus.
So do you think devil is in the detail? Because from the 60,000 feet view, the goal of Business IT Alliance is very obvious to most people.
Well, it is. I guess if you mean, I will say that what is obvious doesn't often happen. So in that sense, I guess the devil is in the detail. The challenge you have is whether, in fact, the organization has a sufficiently robust strategic plan that you can link to, and how do you develop a personal relationship enough with the other senior management in the organization that you're taken credibly as participating in that strategic plan. Everyone intellectually understands that that's a good thing, but implementing it is much more a cultural and human issue.
So, Frank, question for you. Now that we see that you may be the greatest swimmer out there, but would you knowingly get into the choppy water, or you will test the water somehow first?
Well, that's a great question. You know, any of these situations, particularly you mentioned, you know, the environment, business environment, and obviously we're seeing some very interesting things unfold right before us. You can look at it as a problem, or you can look at it as an opportunity. I mean, this age-old adage, I remember hearing that all the way back, you know, to undergrad. And, you know, I look at this, and I think it was Larry mentioned, he's been doing his job 7 years. I've been in my role 6. And I came into the role during the tech downturn, which had a lot of significant implications for our industry and for us. We turned that into an opportunity to basically step back, look at our IT, and actually radically transform it. And that pressure, that business challenge, really gave us a great opportunity and license to get a lot of important things done. So all these things, you know, can lead you to an opportunity to act. And choppy waters, you know, obviously if you go into the waters in a deliberate and safe manner, right, you can look like you know what you're doing and get through stuff, right? Doing stuff in the calm waters, people are always going to ask you, well, gee, what happens in a storm? Can he handle the storm? Can she handle the storm? How are they going to handle the boat in a storm? We understand they're a really good captain when the ship's at the dock. What about when it's out at sea?
Now, with that, the storm and the sea, you know, the situation that we're talking about, whenever we see a CIO, I'm not trying to generalize, but whenever we see a CIO, they look for the next challenge, the next level of uncertainty that is there in the IT or in the business IT alignment, and they try to go after that first. When we solve that, we go to the next one and the next one, and there will be always, you know, there's an elapsed time, and the second uncertainty will always keep cropping up. But when do we go into that calm water and see if we can do something better in terms of value creation versus firefighting? Larry?
Well, you know, we tend to be people that want to go for that next battle and that next challenge. But I think that when we are in calm times, that is an opportunity as well as in the challenging times to create that next innovation. And I think there's times that we can celebrate our successes and use that to rejuvenate ourselves, but also in those times when we aren't being just totally pressured with the one thing that we have to do to survive, is a time that we can really look at, and that's what we try to do. We've been fortunate. Our company's been very healthy. You know, we've taken some of those times to look at ways to make a change in the business, to innovate, and we've been able to do some of that.
Dan, would you go ahead and demand your department, hey, you know what, don't give me the next battle. Let me chill. Let me take a step back, take a look at what else is happening, and maybe I'd be able to come up with much better ways of doing things, which will prevent the next set of battles which may be even showing up right now.
Yeah, I was going to first remark that I'd never had a calm time, so I was trying to reflect on what I would do if I had it. Obviously, there's some times that are busier than others. The reality is that the business demands on a corporation, or in our case, in a government department, the public demand and the demand of our stakeholders in Congress and the White House are not going to lend themselves to what our desires are. I sort of conceptually divide up all these responsibilities, what I technically call column A and column B. And column A are the things that you have to do, and column B are the things that you want to do. In a magic world, I suspect nobody in this discussion are in the magic world, those columns are the same column. So the challenge, but they're not. So the challenge we have is we have to continually do enough of the things that are day-to-day important to give us the credibility and time to then focus on the strategic things that are more systemic and will allow us to really grow the organization. I don't think we generally have the option of saying no, because we're supporting the objectives of the organization, and those have to be dealt with.
So in this column A and column B mode, Frank, what do you see? Which column is most of the time filled? And when are you able to get to the column B, which is, I want to do this?
Well, I think we actually do a good balancing job of that. I think we kind of mixed up a couple of metaphors, potentially. First off, turns out I'm a firefighter. I'm a volunteer firefighter, so I actually have a good concept of what firefighting's about. And firefighting, you know, has this, you know, manifestation of you're responding to something in an unexpected manner. You know, a house fire, right? And firefighters actually spend most of the time training and taking care of equipment and going to routine calls, you know, carbon monoxide calls and things of that nature. And very little of their time is actually truly firefighting. But it's preparing for that, training for that. We mix that up with the whole seas and rough seas. I think sea captains actually, you know, captain or sail, if you will, in bad weather a lot. Not hurricanes or typhoons, but in bad weather a lot. You know, there's rough seas all the time, right? If I look at business, the seas of business are always challenges, because either the environment provides you challenge or your competition provides you challenge. There was a comment somebody made, I wish I knew who made it, but that in business you're either getting better or worse, you're never holding your own. Because if you're not getting better, your competitors, you're staying the same, then they're most likely one of your competitors is getting better. So the business climate is always changing. It may be changing in unexpected ways like it is right now, or it may be changing in more expected ways. And I think if you think about IT, IT is kind of the lifeblood of a business today. You're obviously going to have some particular firefighting from time to time. Hopefully you don't have very much of it. The unexpected stuff, the cable cut in London, or the, you know, the whatever, right? The completely unexpected occurrence. But the pressure on your environment, the bigger, more macro changes, we're always planning for and executing against, and we're always focused on, okay, and I think somebody mentioned it earlier, having a strategy and a business strategy, what are the next things to do to make your business better? What do they need from IT? Because you're never done. That's kind of the magic of this, is you're never done. When we put in SAP, for example, we moved to an ERP, Global Single Instance ERP for Accenture. We did that in 04. You kind of think you're done, but you're not, right? Because it turns out we have an affiliate, Avanade. We brought them onto our single instance this year, and we're doing an upgrade next year. But these are all part of a 3-4 year plan that we have of things to do. They're important initiatives. They're strategic for the business. They're helping us do a variety of things, but they're part of what we planned to do. So I think having the plan and working the plan and also having the ability to adjust the plan is where you need to be yes, you need to have some troops in reserve for that fire that comes up, which will invariably happen, but that's, you know, kind of a 1% effort. Does that make sense?
Definitely. Let's take a quick break, listeners. We'll be right back after these messages and look at situations where, while the leader who's expected to always exude confidence and strength, when they are in a situation, they're given a plan and or given a target or goal and say, go get this, these things done. And in the middle of things, really things get very, very tough, and you are really having tough time just dealing with what is happening there. And you could be in that phase where you may be facing dejection or disappointment or frustration for that matter, but you are not even allowed to express that because that is what is going to be a new reflection on what you truly are as a leader. So how do you deal with it? Please stay tuned. We'll be right back after these messages.
Talk about his money. Call us toll-free, 866-472-5790, and talk
Fine
to the
me.
Experts. We talk, money all the time. Voice America Business.
Looking for flexible ways to scale your IT efforts? Then visit www.aval.com today. Aval helps companies find the global IT talent they need to align their IT and business objectives. Whether it's hiring top IT leadership talent or building a reliable technology team, Aval delivers. To find out how Aval can help your company, visit www.aval.com or call 1-800-947-2832. Aval, delivering global IT talent. That's www.aval, A-V-V-A-L, aval.com. Visit today.
Good morning, Mr. Phelps. The company I'm going to tell you about is the global leader in managed EDI services. Your mission, should you decide to accept it, is to find out all you can about Promethean Software Services. The word within the intelligence community is that many of our competitors have chosen Promethean's managed EDI services. I would suggest you start your investigation by clicking on the Promethean link within the CIO Talk Radio website. This tape, Mr. Phelps, will self-destruct in 5 seconds, along with your job, if you don't provide a compelling reason as to why we haven't implemented Promethean's managed EDI solution.
Please sign on to www.prometheansSI.com or call us directly at 866-311-0580.
Internet's only all business and financial radio network, Voice America Business.
You are listening to CIO Talk Radio. To learn more about the show, please visit www.ciotalkradio.com. If you have a question or comment, call toll-free 1-866-472-5790. Now back to the show. Here's Sanjo Gall.
Welcome back. So we are expected as IT leaders to exude confidence and strength, but there would be times when things are totally going out of hand or they are simply becoming very difficult to deal with. How do we show our emotions? How much of emotional display should be there or is there usually? I know it depends on individual, but generally what's the acceptable term for a leader like that? And then if at all you are totally dejected, how do you get back into the groove? How do you hypnotize yourself, if you will? Dan?
So a couple of things. I'll tell a story. When I talked to my father-in-law years ago, who was president of a manufacturing company up in Michigan, he told me when he'd gotten promoted to the position, there was a day when he had a cold. And so he was sort of moping around the office because he was just not feeling well. And he found out that he had gotten a lot of his direct staff depressed because they thought something was awful with the company. So one of the things I think all of us have to recognize is because of the position of the CIO, and both, again, in terms of the organization as a whole and in terms of the staff often that we have to lead, how we act has dramatic impact. That doesn't mean you don't show emotion, but it does mean you have to understand that simple things can often have a large result. The advice I got was it's almost impossible for somebody in that kind of position to speak in a whisper. The second thing is, at the end, I believe everybody brings a narrative to the situation, who they are, the stories they tell, how they act. And it's important that people think through what that narrative is. So if they're a passionate person that is excited about things, they need to understand that that's how they are. Or if they're people, if a person is generally introverted and keeps things to themselves, then they have to think about what that means. And each person will be a little bit different. I don't think there's any one rule that one can follow. In terms of the second part of the question, I believe that is, so inevitably there's going to be some downtimes. You'll have done something wrong or something bad happened or, you know, you're just feeling down. I think there are a number of things you have to, first, of course, you have to recognize that you have some responsibility to the organization. Second, I think it's important to have a good support structure within the company. There's people that you can work with that are friends and can help you out, both people who perhaps who work with you or who are peers of yours. And I think also you have to work on having a healthy life outside the organization, both in terms of the family life and whatever other activities you are, so you have a strong sense of self in all these things. Because inevitably, things will go wrong, and you have to get by them.
Larry? Well, I think he hit on a couple good points. And once you've acknowledged it, you have to acknowledge it, having something outside that you can use to have a diversion, think about other things. I live out in the country, and I feel like I create a visualization when I go home at night, when I open the gate. The gate kind of scrapes off the problems of the day so that I can go in and rejuvenate, recharge my batteries every night. And when I leave in the morning, I pick those problems back up and bring them here and get on with my day. So that is, you know, whatever it is, whether it's gardening, horses, something, you've got to have something that you can relieve that stress and use it to sort of clear your mind so you can get back on track. And I have also experienced that, you know, I try to separate sometimes Larry the person from Larry the CIO, but when we are in the presence of not just our own team, but anyone in the company, we have to remember that they see us as a CIO, and our actions, our words are all viewed very critically. People are looking for some insight, and we have to keep a certain decorum just as a matter of responsibility of the role. But I do try to build relationships with my peers and with my direct reports so that when it is necessary, with those groups of people, we can be a little more real so we can deal with the situations and show some emotion and take on challenges that we have to.
Now, Frank, when you are in your organization and you may come across certain times like these when there would be some dejection or some disappointment, do you think the world out there sees this as a weakness when you share the shortcomings and or things that happened which were not expected, if you will?
No, I think quite the opposite. I think when you can share shortcomings or particularly learnings you've had yourself with others, there are lessons to be learned. I think we all learn more from the challenges and obstacles that we face or the unexpected things that happen. I think you tend to learn more from that than when everything goes right. So people understanding that, seeing that, and your ability to share it with others works pretty well. In fact, I'll give you one example. We have a program where we take mid-level people and let them, we call it CIO for a day. So they basically pair up with me and go to all my meetings. And we try to do that on the day that I have my general staff status meeting. So we have about 30 people from around the world dial in to go over the challenges, issues, and as you know, at anything like any large organization, you tend not to talk about all the successes you're having, right? You're dealing with the issues that bubble up that need attention, that need to be dealt with. And I first was kind of hesitant to have somebody come to that meeting because it can all at times become a bit heated. You're always dealing with the kind of the issues of the day. But what I've learned is that people find it very, very gratifying. They say, hey, you guys really are doing stuff. You're working on stuff. You're dealing with stuff. I've had people say to me, boy, I wish my client, I mean, we've brought people from the field organization who said, I wish my client could see this because they need to do this. And it's not a very smooth meeting, right? Because you got 30 people around the world, 1 hour. Let's talk about everything that happened in the last week that, you know, has affected the work of, you know, our IT staff is about 4,000 people total, right? There's a lot of ground to cover in a short amount of time. So you're really dealing with the things that went wrong.
So, Dan, when you are already dealing with the challenges that you deal with and also are trying to always make sure that you're in the groove, how do you, in parallel, get enough time and energy to spread that grooviness, if you will, that's the word, among your team members?
Yeah, I keep thinking I should be wearing some kind of psychedelic jeans from when I was much younger in this conversation. It's one of the, again, I think it's one of the challenges that anybody in a senior position has to face. CIO perhaps a little bit more in some cases because everything is so visible. In my case, what I've tried to do is, first of all, try to empower people so that they really felt they had ownership of something. Because almost everybody I've dealt with wants to contribute in some meaningful fashion. They want to feel that they make a difference. So one of the ways you can do that is make sure that people feel that they have some authority to, in fact, control their part of the responsibility. The second thing is it's important to communicate well what it is you expect and how they're going to be evaluated. So they're comfortable, they understand that. And the final thing, which is one of the really hard ones, is trying to create a culture where failure is tolerated. For those people who read the press about government departments, periodically there'll be a laptop stolen or data will happen. You know, somebody will get data and we... In our case, we get to be written up in the front pages of newspapers, which happens. When I first came to the department, we had an incident where there was quite a bit of information that was stolen or lost, and it made the page A6 of the Washington Post, and some very senior people within the department wanted to punish the person who reported the information, who probably was involved a little bit in being careless. And the comment I made at the time was, you know, if you shoot the messenger, the main result is you won't get any messages. And so the issue you have to, and I think that's where my role is to provide protective cover for people so that they have the not just empowerment, but the ability to fail from time to time, because that allows them to try and stretch their responsibilities.
So, let's take a quick break, listeners. We'll be right back after these messages and discuss the same topic about while we are trying to get back in the groove ourselves, how do you spread the same grooviness among your team members and look at the challenges where we have detached individuals. One is to look at people who are actually in the groove themselves or they are almost at the verge of it and you're just giving them a nudge and they will be in that mode. However, we always are going to have people who are not as connected to the rest of the team, no matter how much motivation, etc., that we give as a leader. They simply don't feel like or they don't show the signs of being connected with the whole organization. What do you do with them? Let them go or work on them to get them in the groove? Please stay tuned. We'll be right back and discuss.
Money. Up-to-date business and financial news. Money. Call now and get the financial information you need. 866-472-5790. 866-472-5790. Voice America Business.
Looking for flexible ways to scale your IT efforts? Then visit www.aval.com today. Aval helps companies find the global IT talent they need to align their IT and business objectives. Whether it's hiring top IT leadership talent or building a reliable technology team, Aval delivers. To find out how Aval can help your company, visit www.aval.com or call 1-800-947-2832. Aval, delivering global IT talent. That's www.aval, A-V-V-A-L, aval.com. Visit today.
Good morning, Mr. Phelps. The company I'm going to tell you about is the global leader in managed EDI services. Your mission, should you decide to accept it, is to find out all you can about Promethean Software Services. The word within the intelligence community is that many of our competitors have chosen Promethean's managed EDI services. I would suggest you start your investigation by clicking on the Promethean link within the CIO Talk Radio website. This tape, Mr. Phelps, will self-destruct in 5 seconds, along with your job, if you don't provide a compelling reason as to why we haven't implemented Promethean's managed EDI solution.
Please sign on to www.prometheansSI.com or call us directly at 866-311-0580.
Bottom line in business. Voice America Business.
You are listening to CIO Talk Radio. To learn more about the show, please visit www.ciotalkradio.com. If you have a question or comment, call toll-free 1-866-472-5790. Now back to the show. Here's Sunjoe Gall.
Welcome back. We are talking about those detached individuals who we want to get back into the groove. As Dan mentioned that, you know, he has done things which allows people who are actually showing interest and the initiative to really prosper. There are definitely other people in that mixed bag who also have potential, but for some reason they don't show the signs for them to be, you know, picked up, to be put into the groove, or they're not ready for that yet. So what do you do about them, Larry?
Well, I think we all have those people, and we identify them. We try to have some type of, you know, personal interaction with them to make sure that we understand, you know, who they are, you know, what drives them. And I think we all have different personalities, and one of the things we have to do is, in the leadership capacity, is understand the personalities of the of our team members. I use a book that I read called Personality Plus that talks about the different personalities and what drives those different personalities to achieve. And as I work with my vice presidents and directors to see what drives them, and at the same time coach them so that they can identify those people and identify what kind of personality that person might have and what drives them. We also try to make sure that people are taking their vacations and doing the things that that can help them, you know, get back in the groove, get reconnected. Even at sometimes we have a particular group, our software quality assurance group, which is, you know, very thin in staff, and the work ethic in that group was so so strong, we had to mandate that they not work on certain days. They were, because we felt that that was not good. It wasn't healthy. They were working so many hours that even threatened to cut off access if we had to do so. And clearly, as the leaders, we've got to do that ourselves. It's just like on the plane, you know, they tell you, put your oxygen mask on first. We've got to, you know, save ourselves first so we can be value to those people to get them reconnected, because we can't just say, do as I say, not as I do. We've got to take care of ourselves as well so we can be of value to those other people.
Now, Frank, do you think the detached individuals in your team are very obviously seen, or you have to do some diagnostics on a regular basis?
Well, there are a variety of things. First, I do think we do focus on people, right? You're only as good as your team. I think we all acknowledge that and all recognize that, because you think of any CIO, IT is a team sport. So it does come down to the team. Some of the performers, you know, if they're your star athletes, right, and if your wide receiver is dropping every ball you throw his way, it's pretty easy to figure out. But when that offensive tackle isn't blocking as well, it's a little harder to pick up on, right? But you know what? That offensive guard probably knows there's a problem. So what we do is we're always looking at our people, helping them develop and perform better, et cetera. Actually, one thing that my HR person figured out, and it works very, very well, is she actually sits in line of sight to me, so I can actually see her from where I'm sitting right now. And that interaction, being very accessible to my HR person and also having her very accessible to me, means that we have a regular dialogue about our people. And we focus on people where it's not going as smoothly. We do a variety of things, as everybody does, to help people perform and improve their performance. We'll rotate people around. In fact, we actually instituted this a few years ago, and actually this year, of the senior staff, the top 30 people in IT, six or seven of them, or eight of them, have new jobs this year, most of which were jobs that existed before, but we moved them around the organization. We did that last year, too. We did it the year before. So in most roles, people are in the role for 3 years. But, you know, in about year four, you're in a new role. That kind of upsets the apple cart a little bit. That's a good thing, right? You see it from a different perspective. You come into a new role. You move people around. You let them get the challenge. You let them get the lay of the land. They also get to see that offensive line and figure out how that offensive line's doing. Like, you know, you figure out the wide receiver a lot better, but the individual people down in the trenches are always a little hard to see. So moving people around exposes some of that. That's some of the things that we do.
Now, while you think that you may be providing the immunity to these individuals that they could make mistakes and or come up to you if they don't like it, like a particular job that has been given to them or they've accepted after a period of time that they may have tried it, how many of those come up to you?
In what sense? To change a role?
Yeah, I mean, they would just come back and say, I think it's better to have somebody come versus just be sitting there and be detached, because you may be, rocking the apple cart and having people move around, but then the next role that they are given, we may be thinking that is the next role is the best one that they could get, and that will recharge them, but that may not work out for them. So do they have, while you may be giving them immunity, but do they come back and say, yes, this new role sucks, or I don't like to work on this?
Generally, we haven't had much of an issue with that. We do look at that and watch that and say, okay, that one didn't work out. Let's try a different one. So we do move people around, and it's not like one strike, you're out. But we do move around and try to understand what the issues are and then probe into that deeper. I think one of the things we play to or focus on is we don't want people to get so deeply skilled that the only thing they can do is one particular technology, one particular skill, one particular, that they become so uniquely qualified that, you know, all they do is turn on a switch. Right, the switch turner on or offer, right? We want to move people around and broaden their experiences, because at any point in time, switches go away, for example. So we do move people around and expect them to change over time.
Now, Larry, question for you. When we are trying to get back into the groove, this is actually our goal, but then when we want to do this, is there an action plan that can be created, or is this something that we are born with and we have to just see what works for us?
I think it's both. I think there's times when we have, I know I have done things very specific that have allowed me to get back in the groove, and there's times when we've, you know, it's time management, it's stress management, and it's, you know, personal development and leadership development, and I'll draw on that to say, okay, what of all those experiences can I do to weather this storm, get back in where I feel productive and I'm energizing my team? And I think we all have to be able to find a way, draw on those experiences, our background, and pull ourselves up and help other people do the same. But many times there just may be something that happens that it's a culmination of a lot of work we've done over the past, maybe processes that we've put in place, relationships that we've built, and, you know, there's this thing that happens that just kind of, you know, raises the level for everyone, or raises the level for us, that we didn't really specifically plan to make happen. It didn't happen in the time frame that we wanted it to happen, but it did happen. So I think it's sort of a combination, but we do have to be able to specifically try to make that happen when we need to.
Dan, so what have you done to really feel at all times the top of the world?
There's a premise in the question. I'm not sure I'm up to. The answer, at least for me, is both kinds of things are of value. The for me in this particular position at the Department of Transportation, the comment I've made to people, and it's really been in many ways the most rewarding position I've ever had. I think a CIO job in a serious organization in general means that you have the opportunity to do something to be consequential in terms of the organization, because you, as I think earlier one of the others mentioned, you're sort of the lifeblood of the organization. So the CIO, almost like unlike any other function, touches everything somewhere, and not just the finance part, but the business part, the operational part, the customers and stakeholders. So one of the things are you have the opportunity to be consequential, and I think it's important to focus on that, because that's it's a rare opportunity. Most people don't get that kind of opportunity. So one of the things is when I'm not feeling, you know, something bad is happening like that, I do remember the fact that it's a very consequential position, and frankly, at least for me, I'm lucky to have it. The other thing that's been positive working in the government, because most of my life has been in private industry, is that the organization itself is consequential. That is, the Department of Transportation affects people's lives, both in terms of safety and, you know, everyone has to get from one place to another or get something from one place to another. So that the organization itself is consequential. And so those are the things that are important. And another thing that I think we, again, have all talked about a little bit is the fact that I think there's a strong support structure in the organization, and a strong, in my case, a strong family life. And as I mentioned at the beginning of when we were just talking, the office is a block and a half from the new baseball stadium, so we get to walk over for baseball games when we want to. It's important to have these other things that you have a well-rounded existence to keep you in the groove.
Let's take a quick break, listeners. We'll be right back after these messages, and let's talk to Frank to see when he started his career, when he was just trying to learn how to swim as a CIO versus now that he can do 50 laps a second. What keeps him in the groove? Please stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Stocks, bonds, 401ks, investments, refinancing. We can help you. Call now toll free, 866-472-5790, 866-472-5790. Voice America Business.
Looking for flexible ways to scale your IT efforts? Then visit www.aval.com today. Aval helps companies find the global IT talent they need to align their IT and business objectives. Whether it's hiring top IT leadership talent or building a reliable technology team, Aval delivers. To find out how Aval can help your company, visit www.aval.com or call 1-800-947-2832. Aval, delivering global IT talent. That's www.aval, A-V-V-A-L, aval.com. Visit today.
Are you still doing EDI in-house? Then put your effort into your business and contact Promethean, the industry's most trusted provider of managed EDI services. Promethean has been providing cost savings and reliable service to Fortune 1000 clients for over 15 years. Our solution is platform independent and enables our clients to reach higher levels of performance. Join Promethean and say goodbye to old technology. For more information, please sign on to www.prometheansSI.com or call us directly at 866-311-0580.
The Internet's only all business and financial radio network, Voice America Business.
You are listening to CIO Talk Radio. To learn more about the show, please visit www.ciotalkradio.com. If you have a question or comment, call toll-free 1-866-472-5790. Now back to the show. Here's Sanjoy Gall.
Welcome back. So, Frank, you can swim 15 laps a second, right? So we are going to compare what you did when you were starting out versus how you've seen your own personality evolving, and that is not specifically you, but generally how a role of a CIO evolves as they try to take on bigger and better things or larger scope, and how do they keep themselves in the group because the stakes become higher and the scale becomes higher.
Well, I'm not sure. I'm not sure about the scale changing. For us, we've gotten bigger as an organization, but IT per se hasn't changed dramatically. It has changed dramatically, but not because of that scale change. I guess what I would tell you back to your question. So I've been CIO 6 years. The first 6 months, or the first actually 2 years, are really tough. In the sense that you're learning a lot. So the first 6 months, if you can figure out where the restroom is and kind of what the scope of IT is, you're doing really good. The next 6 months are figuring out a lot more about what you really have in scope, what are all the applications. We have 311 global applications, and guess what? I can't name every one of them, right?
Yep.
Because you only worry about the ones you either major or you have an issue with, right? We have a couple hundred local apps, right? There's no way for you to know the enormity of all your IT because the span is so large. So the next year is figuring, your first year is figuring out what you have. The second year is figuring about a little bit about what to do about it and a little bit of who's lying to you. Because there's always a little bit of people seeing it through their own perspective, and you're not getting the right information. So the first 2 years, in my mind, are the hardest, is learning the job. From there on out, you start executing against what you've learned, and obviously you relearn things across time, and you make changes, tune the organization, etc. And there are some jobs that I thought you would get done with that you realize after you do it for a while, you're never done with it. Talent. You know what? You're never done, right? The sports analogy is a great one. You have a great team this year. You know what? You still need a draft pick for next year, right? The world's going to change. Skills are going to change. People are going to change. People are going to move on, et cetera. So I think over time, you really need to have a perspective and realize that your job's never done, but you can rely more and more on your experience base.
How do you handle overload and still be in the groove? You're overworked, you're overloaded, you're burnt out, almost on the verge of being burnt out, and so is the case with your crew. How could you have this grooviness spread in your department if that's the case?
Well, I think the way I do that, and we do it for everyone, and somebody mentioned earlier, taking vacations, getting away, unplugging. You need to be able to do that. For me personally, I mentioned I'm a firefighter. You know what? Going on fire calls is a great way to clear the mind. the reason that's the case is when you're going on a call, you have to think about and be completely immersed in the call. So you're going to a, you know, an address, say, I'm one of the first guys at the firehouse, so I often drive the engine. So you're thinking about who's the crew, who's showing up, where are we going, what type of call, are we the first engine in or second engine in, where are we going to be positioned, what kind of equipment they're going to need. You're going through, and you're listening to the radio traffic from not only the fire radio, but the police radio to see if you're getting more information. Because of all that, you're completely immersed in something that's not your job. So I'm not thinking about the budget for next year. I'm not thinking about what are we going to do about that application, or should we rewrite it, or what are we going to do about that personnel issue. What are we going to, it doesn't fit, right? It just doesn't fit. My brain, at least, isn't big enough to handle the fire call and any of work stuff. You just completely are on to something else. If you do a good job on vacations, I think people said, you know, I've heard people say, right, that second week of vacation when you take a 2-week vacation is the best week because the first week is kind of starting to unplug, but the second week you're unplugged. Somebody mentioned earlier, I think it was Dan, about going to the baseball game. You have to be able to unplug and forget about what you work on day to day, because you will get burned out if you're completely immersed 24/7 in the same thing. And I think it's getting involved in something that's different. I don't care whether it's firefighting or, for me, the other one I do is fly fishing. Both of them require enough involvement that you have to pay attention to them, and you can't let the other stuff filter back in. That's how I do it, at least.
So, Larry, when was the last time when you said no or said, I cannot handle any more of this corporate mantra pertaining to more with less? Because if we do that, if we accept it, then we are automatically shooting ourselves in the foot, and we'll inevitably be overworked or overloaded, and we will not have the grooviness.
Well, I guess they say no relative to accepting workload or no.
Yeah, the more with less is the basic mantra with corporate executive management always tries to push on IT. They say IT is actually suddenly asking for more and more funds while the value is delivered, but so you have to pay to get something. But that maybe is not appreciated and or is not understood in the same way as you understand. So we get pressure from the top saying that you've got to do more, but the resources will be less. It could be budget cuts, or it will be the same budget, but you'll have to do much more with it. And that basically causes deficiency or deficit in the resources, and that's where you go ahead and work more. And that's what takes away, that's what creates the burnout effect.
Absolutely. Well, I think, you know, what we've done is, we've reached that point, and you can only push so far. I mean, you can say more with less up to a point. And as we reached that, what helped us was really, which a lot of people have, but we matured our prioritization process. And so with my peers and other key members of the organization, we set up, we call it liaison meetings, where people on my staff meet with them once a month to prioritize the work that they require to run the business, and then we meet as a senior management team twice a year to really look at the larger initiatives, and we go through those initiatives and we say, look, here's what we can do, and obviously leading up to that, there's a lot of prep meetings, meeting with all the individuals and what they're trying to do and really understand what they need. But, you know, we try to work together, and many times we sit in a meeting because we have the information prioritized and we're saying, if you want this, then something has to get pushed out. And we're having those dialogues to the point that says, you know, you can't do it all with what we have. And it took us a while to get to that point. Prior to that, it was chaos, and it was more stressful than it is now. So having that relationship and how to work together as a senior management team is really the key to making that happen.
So Dan, very quickly, what you feel is the reason why we keep getting those mandates from, in your case, the government? Or you, do you, you know, face the same situation where you have to do more with less, and that would cause a ripple effect and more work and more load and burnout, et cetera?
Yeah, I think we all face this, the same general issue, and IT isn't alone in terms of having to compete for resources, because it's a competitive environment, regardless, government, private, everyone's competing for that. I think the challenge is, to the extent that IT ends up being a cost center and is effectively treated like electricity, that is, it doesn't really make a difference, but it's necessary, then you're always going to have continually permanent pressure to only reduce costs. To the extent that IT can prove that in a business that it's necessary to increase revenue, that is actually enhance the growth of the organization or in the government, that it's tied to a strategic mission, that it's necessary to be successful in accomplishing what the government department or agency is doing, then you can start to justify why there should be expenditures and resources devoted to it. So I think that's the challenge. I mean, the issue isn't just how can you deal with it. Everybody is under resource constraints. So the question becomes, how do you make IT more meaningful to the organization so people are willing to invest in it better?
On behalf of the show and our listeners, I'd really like to thank you, Larry, Dan, and Frank, for sharing your thoughts about how to get in the groove in spite of the fact that we, the CIOs, have to go through a lot. And as IT leaders, we all long for being in a position where everything is going well and we are in the groove and thoroughly enjoying the ride. So do we just pray and it will happen? Exactly. It's not going to happen that way. It's not really. So for the most part, it is in our hands to tune our mind and body to insulate from these external turbulences that we see and work towards greater relationships with our inner self and also those around us. Just make friends. Cannot promise nirvana here, but surely it is going to create a conducive environment for you to get in the groove often, more often than not. So thank you again for listening to CIO Talk Radio, brought to you by Promethean, the global leader in managed EDI services. This is Sanjog All, your talk show host. Till next week, take care and God bless.
Thank you for tuning in to CIO Talk Radio. To learn more about the show, please visit www.ciotalkradio.com. Join Sanjog Gall next Wednesday at 9 a.m. Central, 7 a.m. Pacific for another hour of CIO Talk Radio.
Stocks, bonds, 401ks, investments, refinancing. We can help you. Call now toll free, 866-472-5790, 866-472-5790. Voice America Business.